Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
We are going to talk to Brian Spacey today. Thanks a lot for joining, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So how have you been?
I'm doing all right. It's been a fun couple of weeks. Interesting to say the least, but I guess in this line of work it always is, right?
Yeah. Well, cool. So as far as, you know, we're talking about cybersecurity here with everything that we're doing with this podcast, and I know you're not a cyber guy, so this is a perfect segue to say, Brian, tell me, what is your definition of cybersecurity?
My cybersecurity is just keeping all of your own information safe, making sure that you don't have any unwanted visitors, just to keep it as simple as possible.
Unwanted visitors, so your own information on your computer?
Yes, yes. So if somebody could use that information for whatever reason that you don't want them to be using it for, then I guess that would be an unwanted intruder, right?
So I guess you're looking at privacy there. Your own privacy is really where your concerns for cyber lie.
Yes, yes. And I think that concern also lies with companies, government entities, everything like that. So
where is it most important, though? Just where it affects you?
From a personal standpoint, yes. As far as, let's say, I mean, some government entity. I know a couple of people that were part of the most recent hack, where a government entity got their information hacked. So it was things like fake tax returns being filed and whatnot. So I think that everybody has something that they personally think of with cybersecurity, but I think that it goes much deeper than that. And understanding how many degrees it is between you and, let's say, just anywhere that has your information.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
I hear, when talking to so many people from big companies, from government here in town, people that are politicians even, and they're talking about the companies. You know, everybody they're talking to about cyber is big universities, big companies, government agencies, three-letter acronyms, space commands, you know, all these big military, government, big companies. Maybe we can get Google in town, you know. Do you really care about any of those organizations when it comes to privacy, your individual concerns with cyber?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that since they are the ones that hold the most information, they're the ones that we need to be most concerned with. However, until it affects me personally, I don't care as a consumer.
Yeah.
As long as my data is secure, and I think that there's a sort of selfishness to that. But everybody,
I think that resonates everywhere, though.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big things that really, in cybersecurity world, it's kind of like, who cares if it's not me, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's I went to a convention last week, or a yeah, I guess a convention, and it was put on by Entrepreneur Magazine, and one of the speakers said, everybody's on the same frequency. It's We FM. What's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
It's very true. I mean, as much as people want to say that, you know, I'm not selfish, well, you are a little bit, because until something directly affects you, you really don't have a need to care about it.
Or maybe it's you don't have a relevance to think about it, or a frame of reference for it might be the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody talks Absolutely. About two entities in space communicating between two planets or doing whatever, you go, wah, 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 wah. You don't care. Those things
yeah.
have nothing to do with me.
Yes. So what if it's intercepted? Okay, so they get some broken up radio transmissions between two satellites, but unless that satellite has my information and for whatever reason,
unless it has unless it's carrying my Playboy subscription,
yeah, I guess. Well, they went non-nude, so you're not really in trouble there anymore.
Okay, so with us going a little too far that direction, Brian, tell us about your company and what you do, and you know, what kind of services you offer.
Yeah, so I started a company about a year ago now. It's called Spies Financial Concepts, and it originally started off, I was just really selling life insurance and disability insurance and doing it in such a way that businesses benefited from it. So if, let's say that you've got two partners, partner A passes away or becomes disabled, what happens that partner B is able to take over that company? So being able to help businesses along those lines, and then it sort of took on a mind of its own to where I began actually going out and seeking fundraising for companies and figuring out how to structure it and figuring out how to label off each round and make sure that these companies were in the best position to thrive according to startup. Because the term startup is so huge right now, what can I do to help them thrive
mm-hmm.
in that?
And we brought you on because we're really interested in this startup community. We're trying to mm-hmm. bring in cybersecurity, have an ecosystem around Colorado that focuses on a blue ocean strategy, which is a industry that we can support that's like going out, sailing out into the blue ocean. It's as big as you can go, and we're just entering into it. So we're looking at, you know, cybersecurity being that thing. It's been, the mayor has come out and said he wants to make Colorado Springs Cyber City USA. The governor has supported that and had both of them on our podcast talking about it. So we want and we need the financial backing. And, mm-hmm. Brian, we want to talk about that. How do we set up this culture from the grassroots up to be a, you know, one, bring in who we have right now that could support this from a financial direction and match them up to the talent and the people that are putting together valuable solutions. And two, growing a culture around entrepreneurship. Now, tell us everything about this, because this is something that I'm not an expert at. I'm a security guy, and we're looking to people like you to be those experts and pull into this effort.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that just to kind of touch on one of the comments you made, and the reason why I said I wanted to talk about grassroots when we were talking offline was it seems like in Colorado Springs, and I think this is relevant to many mid-size American metropolitan cities, is that there seems to be a top-down mentality. And it seems like in Colorado Springs over the last let's say 15 years, the only way to really make money was through government contracting or land development.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're anywhere outside of those, you just kind of feel like you're on the fringes, unless you're good buddies with them and you're in on the coffee shop banter with them. You just kind of feel like you're out on the fringes.
So the only money coming into the area is coming from the top down, is what you're saying.
It appears that way. And the only expertise, like you almost have to ask for permission to do something, whereas I say, you know what, if we're dealing with a startup mentality, ask for forgiveness. Go
yeah.
go do it, stay under the radar as long as you can, and then as soon as you have something worth presenting, pop up and just say, hey, we've got something here.
Now what you're saying really resonates with me after having conversations with so many of the leaders in this community. They are talking about all the big organizations, all the big companies. They're naming all the people in this city that are those big players, the top down. Mm-hmm. What do we tell them? What do we get out there that, and how do we change this, or how do we make this?
I think by having a very, very personal message, because yeah, it's all well and good that we've got all these large companies that are interested in coming and calling Colorado Springs their home and taking advantage of the trails and open space that we have and everything that makes you feel good inside. We just need to question, what's in it for the people? What are you doing to help the people that have chosen to call Colorado Springs home, chosen to stay, even though we hear about all these meccas where tech talent is going? And what do we do to
so we're talking about building a reason for entrepreneurs to park their butt here, right?
Yes, and entrepreneurs are people. They, at the end of the day, they are people.
And they're not the people that want to go work for a big company often. They're a different mindset. So tell us about the things that keep them here, that make them come here.
I mean, there's so many people that, because we had a huge tech boom here in the 90s, and that's actually one of the big reasons why my parents moved here before myself and my sister were born, was because they were part of the Hewlett-Packards and the Agilents and the LSIs, and they were straight down the road from that Intel factory, and it was just such a boom. And for the longest time, we were being called Silicon Valley number two, but all of a sudden, everybody clears out, and
that dried up quick too, didn't it?
Yeah, it dried up very quick. So yes, you have to have entry-level jobs, you have to have mid-level jobs, you have to have people that, because there's a lot of people that are still very risk-averse. So
mm-hmm.
they won't take on risk. They like having the $100,000 a year job where they know that I have to show up from this time to this time, and then from this time to this time I get to be home with my family and everything like that. And then you do have the flip side of the entrepreneurs, the risk takers, and those who are ready to stick their neck out. And we act like small business is so well and good, and it is, but with small businesses, what happens if they have aspirations to be that big business, that multi-million-dollar fundraising winner that is going to employ people here in this town and create a culture and everything like that? There's two sides to every coin, right?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, the and I've heard people say that, you know, the economy, and we've had people on talking about how we're not engaging the 30s and younger people mm-hmm. in cybersecurity, even mid 40s. You're not getting into cybersecurity till the gray hairs. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about making this a blue ocean strategy, an area specific ecosystem that we want to feature our whole economy on. And we're not engaging that younger generation. And then we've had people come in and, you know, talk about on other podcasts I've had about how the economy has shifted to, you know, the millennial, the post-information era age people are all about entrepreneurship. And the economy has shifted to what somebody said, a great quote. They said, don't ask what you can do with your education, but ask how many people you can reach with it. And I thought that just coined how the number of young people I've talked to in the 30s and down. And they're at this pitch night for new tech. They're at the startup communities. And I go to both of these. You go to that side, you see the younger people just really ingrained and involved. You go to the cybersecurity side, and it's like where that age bracket stops, the next that the cybersecurity people start. We need to combine these two. And this, you know, I see that the entrepreneurial piece is how to do it. How do we give and connect the ability to be entrepreneurs? And how is that done? I mean, you're in the financial industry. How can we engage and connect those pieces?
I think that we do need an abundance of funding. We need to get, I guess, some in-town and out-of-town money to believe in Colorado Springs, believe in the brand that we can create. You look at things like fitness technology. That is, it's the wearables and everything like that is huge in the industry right now. There's so many, I you'll see at least 10, 15 Fitbits in a week. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they coming out to Colorado, where people are very outdoors-minded, people are very fit, you are right down the road from the Olympic Training Center? Why haven't we brought in any of those fitness technology companies to say, hey, call Colorado Springs home, and we'll make sure that you're taken care of? Because you look at, I mean...
So you think we need to sponsor certain technology companies that we bring in because of our environment is a good piece to start?
That is, yes. That's a good way to start off and bring cool technology. Because, I mean, cybersecurity is fun because, I mean, you watch all these espionage movies and there's a huge cybersecurity piece of it where you've got these, like, hackers that are able to go in, and so you've got that kind of misconception of what cybersecurity is and the mm-hmm. IT field is.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's a bunch of servers, some really smart people, but the average consumer isn't going to be like, oh, wow, that is my favorite cybersecurity company.
So you think it's not sexy enough, is what you're saying?
It's not from a consumer standpoint.
So we need to bring back the Playboy?
Yeah, maybe. But it's just there needs to be something to rally around. And I think that the people that are enthusiasts of the tech industry,
uh-huh.
they will really like the model that is being set up down here in Colorado Springs as far as bringing in cybersecurity and being able to be close to military bases and satellites and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think that your average person who hasn't even taken a computer programming class isn't going to be able to rally around that as much.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Since the year 2000, Bocor has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, Bocor is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you, and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the Bocor team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's Bocor.com. Bocore.com. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So what if, and this is, let's think hypothetically, you know, we want to connect the outdoors, the mentality of fitness we have here in Colorado, the everything. We have the Olympic Training Center here. So maybe we engage that thing that we already have in town into this security feature, the industry of cybersecurity. Is that a good approach?
Yeah, I mean, utilize what we do already have. I'm going to get on my soapbox here. The redesign of the Colorado Springs logo, it's a really cool logo, but you just have to ask, well, what are we using that for? Are we using that as yet another... just a logo redesign and we'll set it and forget it and hope that it does something good for us? Or are we going to utilize that and say, hey, we're America's Olympic City and bring this here, bring that here, bring nutrition here, bring all these big companies that, in all honesty, they're being forced out of their homes by raising prices. I mean, you think of the nutrition companies that are up in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
Boulder is prohibitively expensive. You think of all the tech companies out west, it's getting prohibitively expensive. So if we could take advantage of what it is we have here in Colorado Springs, which is affordable living, as well as the mountains, the outdoor lifestyle. We've got a really cool downtown. If you get out there for 3-4 hours and just walk around, you can find some really unique things that you're not going to find anywhere else.
So how does that, I'm kind of missing that connection with cybersecurity though. So if we already determined, you know, the direction is to make cybersecurity, you know, how do we connect that? I mean, that particular thing seems like it's almost a reach. You're looking at features, functionality. Right now they're on the path to talk to all kinds of cybersecurity companies, which really aren't about products and gadgets that you hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that while, yes, we're trying to attract these companies and everything like that, you need to attract the people that run these companies and make decisions for these companies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, I mean, cities are fun and cool, and you can find new talent anywhere you go, but we have to sell ourselves on what's unique to Colorado Springs. And yeah, we have a proximity to the military. We have the Olympic Training Center. We have the national governing bodies for quite a few different
sports
and things like that. So we do need to take advantage of that. But you've also got, and I believe this is a big piece that Logic Central picks up, is, you know, we need to develop the talent here, work on keeping the talent here, making sure that they have number one entry-level jobs, because if you can't get a job, you can't afford to live anywhere, really.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing in the right talent, teaching the right talent, and making sure that they're ready to just go gangbusters and make Colorado Springs the cybersecurity capital for the next 50 years.
Okay, in talking to the universities around here, you know, they're really interested in the training piece, the young people and everything. They have them coming to Colorado Springs. Right now they're leaving, though, when they're done with their degrees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you have represented some startup organizations,
mm-hmm,
that foster kind of this grassroots, grounds up, helping people get noticed, helping people with, you know, networking support for other people that are entrepreneurs. Talk mm-hmm. about that and how we can plug that in.
I mean, the networking piece, as you touched on, is a huge part of keeping people here. If you can get into the community from a very young age, and I really didn't start networking until I was about 23 or so. And as soon as you start getting ingrained in the community, you get that group of friends, you get the work friends, you get people that you know can help your business, that's what will keep people here beyond the jobs. Because, I mean, you think about it, a lot of these kids that are coming to Colorado from out of state, their parents might own businesses, or they might be higher up in a certain business. So
or military is a big
offer.
One.
Yeah,
they're in the military,
well,
come here for a couple of years. You know, what am I staying here for? I mean, we get with UCCS and Pikes Peak and some of the, you know, Colorado College, we get a lot of people from all over the state come here mm-hmm. to go to college, but we also aren't really engaging them with staying here after college.
Correct. And I think that you see it, I mean, Colorado College, you probably have a more wealthy demographic that is going there, so they might have that standing job offer when they go back home. UCCS, and I went to UCCS, so it felt like it was, I mean, it was just your normal college. And yeah, you had a non-traditional student population as well as a traditional student population, so that intertwined pretty well. But as far as when the military comes here, they're going to look for something that's familiar. So they're going to look for your big chain restaurants when they're going out on a Friday night. They're going to go to the movies. They're going to seek out chain coffee mm-hmm. shops and chain entertainment.
So, I mean, now I've seen that, you know, the younger generation is almost moving away from chain restaurants mm-hmm. to more of the niche places. And I've seen the microbrews start to pop up all over here in Colorado Springs, which is,
yeah,
you know, a neat little thing. But that kind of hometown culture almost, you know, in a big way seems to attract them more than, you know, maybe the military's looking for chains. But I think that's changing. I mean, mm-hmm. what's your thoughts on that?
I think that military does seek out those because it's familiar. You know that if you only, because a lot of them are going to have families as well, you know that if you're going out on a Friday night, you're going to get a good burger rather than something that might not live up to your standards. You know that you're going to get this. You know that you're going to get this. But yes, it's very true that the millennial generation is really putting an emphasis on craft. So craft breweries, craft distilleries, craft coffee, it just goes on. And
so is that maybe, I'm just reaching for, if we're talking about engaging that generation and pulling it into the cybersecurity effort and then crossing that with the financial, so that's kind of why I thought you'd,
Yes, absolutely. And it is, as you're trying to attract the millennial generation, you are looking for what can you get here that you're not going to get anyplace else. And I think Colorado Springs has really pushed for that craft mentality. I mean, you walk around any corner and there's probably a craft brewery or someplace that sells it. Mm-hmm. You walk a couple more blocks and you're at a local coffee shop that probably roasts their own. I mean, I've got, I know a bunch of people, they're leaving one coffee shop and starting their own, and they're really putting an emphasis on the craft side of things. And it's something that I think Colorado Springs has that they're keeping up with cities much bigger than us.
Yeah, and I heard that there's a development prospect downtown to centralize all the kind of the restaurants on the same billing type of program. So you go from one to the next, almost like an outside, like a buffet of restaurants that are all in the same ticket type of thing.
I actually haven't heard too much about that. I mean, there's every couple of years, people will make noise about turning a couple of blocks of Tejon into the pedestrian mall, and then the outside conversations are, well, what if we could allow for open containers within that area? And then what if we could? And it just seems to be a ripple effect out from the original what if.
Nothing further about that you've heard?
Not really. And I think that until it's actually a discussion among city council and among city leaders, it's...
Do you think it should be? Do you think we should give them that message right now?
I think it would be something unique about Colorado Springs, but I don't know if it would be enough to get people to, I'm going to move to Colorado Springs because of open containers.
Yeah. Well, I think they move here because of the mountains and, and that's what I've heard resonated with the business community too. Oh, we don't need to do anything civic-wise because they move here for the outdoors and the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got it.
And they do move here for that, and it's a great quality of life out here and clean air. And I know some individuals that actually recently moved here from California, and they said like their kids breathing and skin cleared up like pretty quick.
Interesting. Yeah, for health reasons. I know at one time this was the tuberculosis community. Mm-hmm. This is how Colorado Springs started up for the same reason. And really, I mean, says if anybody's listening to this and has ever come to visit, never come to visit here, there's no pollution in Colorado Springs. And there never has been, because it started as a tuberculosis colony back in the 1800s, or community, we'll say. And there's been all kinds of clean air acts ever since then.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, there's a lot of progress to be made to reach our full potential with that, because I mean, I think every city is going to just have that perception of, well, I'm moving to a city of 500,000 people. It's going to be dirty, and there's going to be this, there's going to be that. So,
So now if reaching back into the financial side, if people are listening, they say, I got a great idea. Mm-hmm. How do I get connected with people that are going to fund? How do I get into communities around here that are going to support me with that? Where do I start?
Just network like crazy. We've got meetup apps and everything like that. We've got Facebook.
What are some of the communities that you know of? I know you've been in some, you've helped foster some. Mm-hmm. Tell us about those and what they do for people and how you can make those connections.
Yeah, I've started off with young professionals here in town, and that was really good. I was able to meet some great people that became my friends. I was able to do some business. That's very much, it's open networking, so it is what you make of it. If you want to be there very business-minded, you can do that. If you want to be there simply for social, you showed up in Colorado Springs with the clothes on your back, you can go there and kind of get plugged into to your group. There's Rising Professionals, which is more of a membership-based. Then there's the pitch nights that you mentioned where people go to. Those are still at Epicentral, correct?
Yes. I know that's the new sponsored by New Tech.
Yes.
Colorado Springs New Tech. There's a Denver New Tech. There's a couple more organizations. What are you familiar with them?
Yeah, I am. I'm drawing a blank, and really just at the end of the day, get out and go do something, make friends. And you look at kind of the traditional, and I say traditional because this is actually fairly new as far as the way that startups do things. So we're writing the book as we go. You start off with a friends and family fundraising round. What that does is you kind of have to scrounge off that money for a little while, but it shows that those closest to you trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on to what's called the angel investing round. And that is probably an industry insider, somebody that's really well plugged in, gives you additional funding to help push your business to the next level. They'll either do it debt-based, they'll do it equity-based, or some ways to play around with royalties and whatnot. But that then shows your next investor or your customers that, hey, industry experts trust us. So it's just kind of a natural progression of this is why you should trust us, this is why we're the best at what we do, and why we're going to make a ton of money at this, why we're going to set the standard. So,
Okay, so do you help people at any stage in that? Where do you fit in with your consulting company?
A good majority of what I find them is angel or the venture capital round. So the big round of funding where they say, okay, we've survived for, usually they like them to survive for about 2 or 3 years and make a little bit of money before a large venture capital company will come in. So it's just, there's the premise that the startup community is kind of started on is rules were meant to be broken, but mm-hmm. there is still a system to go through with this. So yeah, I'm usually step two or step three. If they need me to write a business plan or a proposal or a pitch deck or something like that, I can help them with that, but I usually don't step in on the funding piece until they are seeking out angel investors.
Okay. Can you give any examples of success you've had in your organization?
As far as companies, my company is still relatively new, so I've really had my first successes within the last couple of months. But there's a cybersecurity company that I'm currently working with, and we're very close to being able to sign papers. They've got their LOI from the company that's contracting them. So they're up and ready to go. We're finishing up a deal on it's a beverage manufacturer that's going to be here in Colorado Springs. So it's interesting, but I guess as far as like the big successes and the companies that saw huge success after they got this funding, I don't really have examples of that yet because, I mean, those companies are young like I am.
Okay. So we'll bring you back on when we have some more things to talk about as far as how that goes. But definitely, if you're talking to somebody that's making decisions for this effort going on in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. For cybersecurity, for developing stuff, for making policy, for funding stuff from a social standpoint, for big companies, what do you tell them? What advice can you give these people?
Could you repeat the question? Sorry about that.
Okay, sorry. I was rambling on anyway. So if you have people listening that are mm-hmm. in the government, are part of this effort, or are in these big companies that would come in and fund, what would you tell them? What message would get you put out to them?
I would say make sure that your ideas are very centered around the people that will help you, the people that you hope to be employed by Colorado Springs, the companies within Colorado Springs, the people that you hope to move to Colorado Springs. I think that we need some very new ideas, and I think that our city and state leaders have done a good job of making sure that we do have new ideas being pumped in, but now it's time to figure out how it affects people and how we truly make change instead of saying we're going to make change.
So do we, and we started talking about this a little bit, but do we look at, let's talk to big companies, let's bring them in, let's affect people's lives from, you know, bringing in money that trickles down? Or do you say the opposite? Let's bring in something for the people that goes up.
I think a little bit of both. Like I said, you have those individuals that do want to go to work, get a paycheck, do as well as they can, but they're not going to take the startup risk and just dive into the deep end without their water wings, you know? But I think that, yeah, there needs to be an effort that's equally focused on both. And I think that if we are looking to bring large companies in, we have to ensure that we're doing it correctly, because you think about our days in the 90s with the tech boom and everything like that. Yeah, it was great, but how quickly it dried up says that there was something flawed about that plan. So how do we come up with plans that are sustainable, and so that we don't end up with, because I tell people, Colorado Springs went through a recession that was twice as long and half as deep as the national recession that everybody refers back to. And yeah, we had the military to catch us from falling into complete oblivion, but we also had gotten rid of so many of those companies that were huge hiring giants here in Colorado Springs. Hey, I don't know why my iPad keeps doing that.
So you said huge hiring giants in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, we didn't do a good job of keeping them here, and we didn't have a true plan of, well, what happens if it hits the fan again like it did, I mean, honestly, in the dot-com era.
Yeah, so do you think that we have, a civic effort really has control over that? I mean, literally, the tech bubble and the tech drop was a shift in the semiconductor industry, because that's where we were focused. And they diversified to offshore manufacturing. And what did we have here? All kinds of fabrication plants that were manufacturing. And it was just a cyclical market trend shift. So maybe, how do we fix that or anticipate that? And cybersecurity is something that I hear you saying.
I think we do have to find that company that's not going to be able to send anybody overseas. Somebody that, you know what, Colorado Springs is kind of where our final home has to be. Because, yeah, like you said, the semiconductors, yeah, they became too expensive to be put together by American workers. And now we're starting to send American jobs over to other countries for engineering and things like that. And I think that we have to be very smart about the sorts of companies that we bring in. And that's why I do think that there needs to be a huge emphasis on the grassroots efforts, making sure that we can fund the groups that need funding here, that are going to be able to stay here, that are going to be able to grow organically or with that funding. We need to do a better job of not losing the talent that we do already have.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for joining today. Definitely enjoyed some of your insight. And we'll put some information for contacting Brian on the website, and you can get to it whenever, if you're looking for him, it'll be on the Logic Central online site. But thanks a lot for joining today. And thank you for being a guest today, Brian.
Thank you. Absolutely. I look forward to speaking again.
Yep. Have a great day.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea If you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.